And for the second day in a row, OMB didn't show up for a hearing in the House of Representatives. Reorganizing agencies is a big priority for the administration. Republican members of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee say that's why they were hammering OMB today for missing this hearing on overlapping government programs. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is here to talk about this hearing, covering it, and it looks like it did not take long for this Congress, this House in particular, to start to butt heads with the administration.
Well, it's very interesting because the reason why they didn't show up is not clear. In fact, OMB says they told the committee, we're just not prepared to talk about this yet, but Darrell Issa is the committee's chairman, and he wasn't buying the administration's excuse.
Our consternation is the president talked about it in the State of Union, which means it was well thought out and well prepared. The people at OMB and the whole management structure and budget structure have, in fact, been out on the road selling various ideas. And obviously, the president prepared a budget. That tells us that relative to those actions, they should have been able to come here, listen to this report, and answer questions as to, for example, the president's budget. They chose not to, citing that they weren't yet ready. The invitation remains open.
Now, Congressman Connie Mack from Florida was even more blunt, saying he found it outrageous that OMB didn't show up and asked why the president was hiding from the committee. Now, obviously, there's some little politics going on here, but I did email OMB for comment on why they declined the committee's invitation. I'm still waiting a response. We do know that OMB supports GAO's findings. I mean, this is all this hearing was about, this report that came out earlier this week on the overlapping programs.
Yes.
Jeff Zients is OMB's deputy director for management, and he said actually Wednesday during a press briefing at the White House that the administration is on the same page as GAO and Congress.
The president's 2012 budget proposes more than 200 program terminations and other reductions. In total, this will save $33 billion. We are targeting areas where programs are duplicative, outdated, or simply ineffective. For example, the budget consolidates 38 K-12 education programs into 11 new programs that use competition and performance to allocate the funds. The budget also calls for a reduction, a 40% reduction, in the more than 2,000 data centers maintained by federal agencies. These kinds of measures are necessary and important.
Now, additionally, Comptroller General Gene Dodaro says GAO has not yet heard from OMB about the report, but they do plan to reach out to them in the coming weeks to really discuss their findings. Now, this is one of those things where you say, okay, well, things happen, things change,
right. But. Yeah, and that was my thought when I first read about this morning, is I'm not here to make excuses for OMB, but sometimes stuff happens. Is the significance that they didn't show up, or is the significance that this is the second day in a row that they were supposed to be up there and didn't show?
I would tell you that's the significance that it's the second day in a row on two issues that are not highly political. I mean, yesterday's hearing, Director Jack Lew decided not to show up to the committee's Federal Workforce Subcommittee when they looked at postal service reform. Remember, these are two areas, postal reform, cutting overlapping spending, that are non-controversial, from the broad perspective. It's always going to get into politics eventually. But committee members didn't go after the administration in a political way during the hearings. And these are stuff that the administration supports. As you heard Jeff Zients talk about it, we know postal reform that they support. In fact, at today's hearing on the GAO's report, former Virginia Congressman Tom Davis, who is a Republican, said the blame for the overlapping program starts on Capitol Hill.
I hope we can engage OMB before this is done, because we are in this together. Republicans, Democrats, House, Senate, executive branch, we all caused the problem. And I think we all need to be there to solve it as we look forward to this. And I'm disappointed they're not here today, but I think in the future we need to make sure they're engaged. I think they're doing some things over there we need to hear about.
Now, obviously, Tom Davis is the former chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee. He retired from Congress. I guess it's been 2 years now.
Longer than that, I think.
It's been pushing it.
Yeah.
So what's happening now is, okay, the relationship is not starting off well. This is important stuff. This is non-controversial, non-political stuff. Darrell Issa is not issuing subpoenas. He's not shaking his hand. He's not hitting the gavel hard. But, you know, this is, there's going to be more opportunities for OMB to come and testify. ISA promised to hold quarterly hearings on GAO's findings and what agencies are doing to reduce overlapping programs. He says OMB will continue to be invited to these hearings and hopes they'll show up sooner or later. In the meantime, ISA and ranking member Elijah Cummings are drafting a letter to send to OMB asking for updates on their progress to reorganize the government. This is something that President Obama announced in the State of the Union. Jeff Zients is also leading. So they want more information. How are you doing it? What are you going about it? Mm-hmm. And how can they help? So the letter is going to be coming out in the next week or so.
You're looking at me like, what's that silly grin on your face? It's listening to Tom Davis talk as though he's still the chairman. He sounds like he's still the chairman. I'm disappointed that OMB is not here today. But if he's not, he knows he's not chairman. It sounds like he might in his heart kind of want to be.
Well, the funny joke is that happened all during the hearing is they kept referring to the fact that, you know, each chairman of the committee has a portrait. I mean, uh-huh. This is like a 3 feet by 3 feet
yeah,
portrait.
They're huge.
And they're looking over. So they kept saying, Mr. Davis, so you're looking at us and you're looking over us. And I think Tom really enjoyed being back to testify. But this is something that's right in his wheelhouse. When you talked about Tom Davis, and you talk about his career, and you know, he was not the big political guy. He talked about making the government work better. And mm-hmm. So this fits right there.
What were some of the other members, current members of the committee, saying about this GAO report?
So lawmakers were, I think, all over the place and what they were focusing on based on this 300-page report from GAO. There was, in fact, a lot of discussion about the Interior Department doesn't collect enough or, in some cases, any royalties from oil companies who are drilling on federal land. Interior is looking at this issue and will report back to the committee later this year to see if they do need to change the process by which they collect royalties from oil companies. Several members asked GAO what are some of the low-hanging areas that they can address right away. GAO's Dodaro said that he almost didn't know where to start because there are actually so many.
My recommendation would be to first build off where there is pretty good consensus about the need to streamline. Like, for example, there are some recommendations of the administration, for example, in the employment and training area to reduce and consolidate some of the programs. In surface transportation, there's agreement. Teacher quality, improving those programs, consolidating in the education field. There's some common agreements there. A number of these areas are also, as Mr. Davis mentioned, on our high-risk list. It requires top-level attention, metrics on progress, but there's a lot of opportunities to do this.
Now, acquisition and contracting is another big area where Congress and GAO seem to believe there's a lot of overlap and an opportunity to fix. Congressman James Langford is the chairman of the subcommittee on technology and procurement policy, and he actually asked GAO, I want a list of all the overlapping multi-agency contracts. This idea of max multiple award contracts, we've talked about on our show, on our station many times. Mm-hmm. The fact is that they do cost the government more money, that they cost the vendors more money, they are redundant efforts are all around. You're taking the time of contracting officers. So Dodaro says fewer contracting vehicles would reduce costs. Dodaro also highlights unneeded federal property. We just talked about that earlier today. Mm-hmm. Improper payments and the shortcomings and actually how agencies collect revenue. This is around, you know, for instance, taxes owed versus taxes actually collected. GAO says there's a $290 billion gap in taxes owed versus taxes that actually should be collected.
That's wild.
And there's several other areas they highlight that they could say, listen, we could do a better job of bringing in the revenue.
All right. For the committee as a whole, did you get a sense of how they wanted to go about dealing with these overlaps?
Well, that was actually the first question ISA asked both former Congressman Davis and GAO's Dodaro. Do we use the carrot or the stick approach? And both said, you know, the carrot is the way to go. Davis explains why he likes to take a positive approach.
When you try to starve a budget, they look within their budget. They don't look at how they can share savings with another agency. It's just not in the nature of the beast. If you can incentivize groups to work together in those kind of shared savings environments, you can do much better. When it comes to shared savings, we're not getting the sustainability we need. I would do something like mandating agencies to look at two or three lines of businesses within each one where they could share some of these instead of putting them into stovepipes. But just starving them doesn't incentivize them to work with other agencies, unfortunately.
Now, Dodaro says disincentives don't work as well because agencies already basically have enough through the way Congress appropriates funding. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay, do your budget in 10 for 12, but don't get the budget until 13. And then we know we're still going through it right now with the
right.
CR
mm-hmm.
and everything else. Now, ISA says that the committee will work on legislation focusing on specific overlapping areas. One he pointed to is veterans health care. Others are looking at proposals around sunset laws or sunset resolutions to say, well, let's look at reauthorizations and a rule to say, okay, we're going to certain programs will just sunset or mm-hmm. they should be reviewed to see whether they should sunset. And I think that's one of the big problems that, that both GAO and Congress has pointed out, that some programs just go on forever and new ones pop up and, you know, well, we need to tweak it a little over here, so we'll just do a new program instead of fixing the one that exists.
Mm-hmm.
And they never go back and say, well, what are we getting for this money?
Yeah.
What are we getting for this program?
Yeah, on my show this afternoon, I was talking to Linda Springer, the former controller at OMB and OPM director, and that's exactly the issue we were talking about, is this is going to require not just on the congressional level, and I think some of the criticisms that, that Congressman Davis talked about were fair, but this is going to require not just a lot of work on the Hill. It's going to require a lot of work at agencies to go through and categorize each of these. Every single thing that the agency does, is this mission critical? Is this something that we like to do, or is this something that it, we're just kind of doing for whatever reason? And then maybe at some point go back to Congress and say, hey, we've got these list of things that aren't really in our mission that you're making us do, and we need you to knock these out for us.
It's that, like, must-haves versus nice-to-haves.
Exactly.
Versus,
that's exactly,
you know,
right.
Luxuries. Now, GAO is mandated by law to continue doing these reports. They've already begun year two of their report.
Mm-hmm.
Nadaro talked about looking at stuff like ethanol tax duplications, renewable fuel standards, how they overlap loan programs, and how there's so many loan programs that are overlapping. And then, you know, so that's work's underway, and I think we're going to get updates throughout the year from this committee and others.
The impact of this report, I think, has been really interesting. When it first was alluded to, the first comment I heard about it was Tuesday night, I think. Senator Tom Coburn said, when this report comes out, it's going to make us all look like jackasses. And I don't think that has... it hasn't printed that much. It hasn't had that much impact, I don't think, outside the Beltway. And it looks like inside the Beltway, it's leading to this kind of conversation, which actually is a lot more constructive than attaching names to people.
Well, one of the comments that one of the congressmen made today was that this is really the nuts and bolts of what the government does.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a really important statement, to understand that this is not big, exciting earmark, I'm going to get money for my district type of stuff. I'm not going to be the one that rewrote the law to the way DOD buys weapons systems, or, you know, we could get your name in the lights forever.
Mm-hmm.
This is stuff that the government does every single day that makes a difference for the country. And I think they get that, and they realize, why do we have 80 programs that look at surface transportation, or 40 programs that do X or Y? Do we need that many? Can we consolidate them? And OMB and then the administration says, yeah, we don't need this, and we're going to make some changes. I think the big deal is, can the Republican House work with the Democratic Senate, and then the administration, can they work with both sides,
right,
of the Congress?
I'm going to guess, just take a wild guess, that there will be more on the Federal Drive tomorrow morning and also at federalnewsradio.com.
I think that would be a good guess, and I will be on the air with Tom and Amy in the morning.
Excellent.